Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and for today, we're talking around the pros and maybe some of the cons around saving and investment in South Africa. It is the month of July, which is said to be savings month, and we just thought it would be important just to talk about this issue because COVID-19, if anything, it's really highlighted what the relationship is between South Africans, their savings and their investments, because a lot of people were caught without those rainy day funds. But at the same time, everything does have two sides to it, so we're just going to be talking about that. To help us to discuss the issues, maybe shed some light on some of the trends and actually just give us some insights into what saving and investment is looking like at the moment, we're joined by Nicholas Rima, who is the investment education head at FNB, that's First National Bank. Nicholas, greetings to you. And as a first point, savings month, we've heard about this. What is the actual idea and concept behind it?
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. Nice to be chatting to you guys about this. I think July has seen the kickoff now of Savings Month, something that's very, very important to F&B. So I think that was it's something that's been introduced to try and install a savings culture and create awareness around the importance of saving within South Africa. I think that South Africans have had the reputation as a nation of spenders as opposed to savers, with regards to the way that we look after our savings and the way that we put money away. And I think that, especially now during this pandemic, I think it's raised even more awareness around the importance of having money saved, having emergency funds available in times of need like this. And I think that each time July comes around, I think that there's this push to try and re-emphasize the importance of saving and investing for long-term goals such as retirement. And I think that's the massive side from my side on the education side and the massive drive that I've now put with regards to Savings Month in terms of educating as many South Africans as we can with regards to different savings and investing vehicles, savings and investment strategies, and the reasons behind why we need time to allow our savings and investments to compound. It's one thing to just be told, you need time, for example, to do it, but what are exactly the reasons? What exactly is compounding? And I think those are the types of things that we've put huge emphasis on in a Savings Month with the type of educational content that we're getting out so that all your listeners and all of South Africans can really understand the exact reasoning behind why we need time for our investments to grow and the importance of having long-term and investment savings goals.
On that point, we can then ask what the advantages and disadvantages, maybe those pros and cons of investing during this time are, because I can imagine that for investors, the current climate is one, a scary one, but secondly, it's one that's also perhaps rife with opportunity. What are things looking like at the moment?
So, there are definitely pros and cons that have come come around as a result of COVID-19. And I think diving into some of the pros that have come about, I think that for some very fortunate South Africans, I think the virus, has not impacted their income currently from their jobs. And what's changed for them is simply working from home and, maybe the shift in mindset to the more productive me and now working flexibly from home. But in terms of their monthly income, nothing's really being impacted. And I think that as a result of the lockdown, this has meant that these specific South Africans are now able to save more because there's now a reduction in fuel costs, restaurant costs, entertainment costs. If we think about, what the lockdown did in terms of limiting our, the activities that we could participate in, I think that there are huge savings. No longer were we buying, coffees every day, twice a day. you know, at your different favorite coffee stations, all of those were being saved. And I think that for long-term investing and saving, I think for those specific South Africans, it's definitely been something that they can increase their contributions to their monthly saving and investment portfolios. And I think that, you know, for those that took advantage of that, I think it's going to assist them in reaching their long-term goals faster. I think that the lockdown also, for once in our lives, if we look back on it, you know, it for once we had time on our side. And I think that, especially when it comes down to saving and investing, I think that, you know, people maybe didn't fully understand or fully comprehend the different vehicles that they were utilizing, or understand, you know, their different budgeting processes. And I think that this 3 months of being indoors and having to stay in, you know, not only created an awareness around what am I investing in, what am I saving in, but fully understanding the educational aspects of every different vehicle that's currently being utilized and different potential vehicles that could be utilized going forward. And I think that this is, you know, this is helping shift our mindset, you know, to that investment and saving mindset, because we now had time to fully go and understand what we can potentially be looking at. You know, we're continually saying, you know, make a budget, have a look at your cash flow expenses, take into account your incomes, less all your expenses. Where can you, you know, put measures in place to save and rather invest? But I think, you know, that takes time to go and do that. And I think that many South Africans were able to now go and do this in full during this lockdown, which has really made them a better investor and a better saver going forward. Emergency funds is something that's obviously been heard a lot, and you know, something that maybe had been heard but hadn't been fully comprehended. And I think that, you know, having emergency funds is one thing, but when a pandemic comes around, having those funds available, you know, to maybe get you by, as opposed to having to dip into your long-term investment and savings vehicles, makes a huge difference, because by taking money out long-term vehicles means that that money can no longer compound. There might be early withdrawal penalties as well. So actually seeing the practical side of why having emergency funds there, I think that was something that was definitely positive from COVID-19. And then going into the market specifically, you know, one of the pros is that the market pulled back a lot, obviously, as a result of the pandemic, from an opportunity point of view. So, I mean, this offered companies to investors at great value. So I think buying into the market at times of stress is one way to increase time frame with regards to achieving your goals, as the potential returns then can be greater. So I think that investors that bought into the market, you know, on the in sort of the middle of March, you know, right on the middle of sort of, you know, of the pandemic panic. And as we sort of entered into our lockdown, we saw the market pull back a lot, and we've already started to see a nice recovery now to almost pre-pandemic levels. So those investors buying into the market, you know, at times of stress, you know, were buying into great value at the time. And I think that they're already starting to see the results of this. I think one of the other pros, and the last one that I'm going to address before moving on to some of the cons, was we saw big interest rate cuts and reductions in the interest rate, to try and incentivize economic spending again within the country. And I think that straight off the bat, that's obviously lower interest costs for consumers, meaning higher savings each month, which can be put towards investments or put towards savings. One of the other opportunities that came with this is to maintain the current debt exposure or the current debt payments that you currently were paying previously before interest rates decreased. So maintain the same level of mortgage, bond payments, car payments. And what this means is that, you know, you're going to be decreasing your debt balance then a lot quicker, as opposed to previously a few months ago when the interest expenses were a lot higher. Equity stocks generally like an interest rate cut. So again, we saw some performance increases there in terms of share prices. Properties are becoming a little bit more attractive now as debt is cheaper. And there are some cons associated with the interest rate decrease. And I think just moving straight to our conversation on the con side, you know, if we see a decrease in interest rates for savings vehicles, you know, like your long-term savings account, this is obviously negative. So I think it saw South Africans having to possibly look for alternative ways of saving during the lockdown, because interest rates have now come down dramatically, and there might not be enough yield there to warrant it. And I think that's seen, you know, some savers now shifting more to the bond market or trying to shift to fixed deposits, you know, to try and look at fixing, you know, the interest rate exposure if there are more potential cuts looking like coming down the line. I think we also talked about the fortunate few that were able to maintain their current income levels, but, you know, unfortunately there were a lot of South Africans that have been really impacted by the virus. And as a result, this has impacted their monthly income. So I think we've had to see, you know, some South Africans end up selling some of their investments and selling, you know, exiting some of their long-term savings vehicles at times that are not going to be favorable to them. And this obviously means that they, you know, they're eating into their nest egg with regards to their retirements, you know, to fund short-term expenditure, you know, and that's obviously, it's going to put them on the back foot now when some sort of normality returns back to the market. They're going to almost have to start from scratch in saving and investing again and increasing their percentage of monthly incomes to their savings and their investments accounts to meet their retirement goals and retirement needs going forward. I think that, you know, lastly, some investors bought into the market, you know, when prices were high, and on the back of the pandemic, we saw market prices decline significantly, especially in March. And what tends to happen is that people panic and they sell, they get out of investments. So that has potentially resulted in some South Africans buying high and then selling low. And I think that, you know, this is for me is the crucial part, especially in the educational journey, to try and get across the message that there is going to be volatility in the market with regards to your long-term investments and savings vehicles. But you need to give your vehicles enough time to perform for you so that you can outsee these short-term volatile market moves, like we saw entering into the lockdown. And over a long-term period, your long-term goal is what needs to be in mind, because the longer the term of the investment, the better the chances of that investment outperforming short-term volatile moves. And we've already started to see this now with regards to the beginning of the lockdown, now towards sort of 3-4 months into it, with regards to some of those market prices recovering.
I think that then helps us to ask as a follow-up, because the big encouragement at the moment, as you started off, is encouraging, I guess, a culture of saving in South Africa, because, as you said, South Africans have been known as being a society of spenders as opposed to savers. But in terms of that, just using the example of the fortunate South Africans who have been able to increase their savings during this time, does that necessarily mean that going into, let's say, equity markets, for example, is the best option, as opposed to sitting, letting your money sort of sit and accumulate interest, in terms of that? Because I can imagine that from an education point of view, part of your job is trying to help people to perhaps weigh their options, that there isn't always a one size fits all sort of solution when it comes to this sort of thing.
No, definitely. So I think part of the educational journey is to also educate around diversification. So I think that, you know, to say that one specific person just wants exposure to savings rates is not necessarily correct. Yes, they might be a lower risk investor, so they might be risk averse, but they're different investment vehicles that can be utilized to achieve that specific goal, as opposed to putting all your eggs in one basket. So I think, you know, South Africans that have got, you know, let's say excess funds available now on the back of getting normal monthly incomes and having some savings, and they're now looking to invest or save that money, I think it's important to always look at a good balance of investments and savings vehicles. So we spoke specifically now about interest rates being cut. And I think that, you know, for savers just looking to invest or to just save all of their funds in a long-term savings vehicle might not get the best yield because of where the market is currently from an economic point of view, because interest rates are down. Whereas there are alternative low-risk vehicles like government bonds, for example, that are offering much better yields, that might make sense to go and put 30% of your savings into something like this. On the equity side, equity shares are obviously seen as a little bit risky as opposed to your savings vehicles. But again, there are ways to enter the equity market that can be in a lower risk manner. You can utilize something like a unit trust, where, you know, you've got basically looking at your lowest form of risk in terms of your unit trust. So just looking to beat inflation as opposed to looking to outgrow, you know, and try and return, you know, 10-15% per annum. If you're just looking to beat inflation, you're going to have exposure in a unit trust to different money market instruments, so different savings instruments, as well as some government bonds, for example, as well as some high dividend yield blue chip stocks. So there's always an investment vehicle that's going to suit a specific investor or saver. And I think the key message that I want to get across is that With us having that extra time in lockdown now, we must fully understand everything that we are investing and saving through. We must know what our goals are. It's very difficult to understand, you know, what exactly we're looking for. We don't understand our goals. We need to know the journey and the destination that we want to, that we're going to embark upon before just selecting, you know, different investments and savings vehicles without fully understanding them. So if our goal is to look at beating, you know, inflation by 3% and we don't want to take too much risk, there's a range of different savings and investment vehicles that are going to suit that. We need to make sure that we've got exposure to all of those so that our risk is diversified, as well as then giving us our best possible chance of achieving those long-term goals and over a long-term period of time. And allowing your money to compound, I think, is the number one secret with regards to long-term saving and investing. Letting your returns earn returns over a long-term period of time is the formula to success, and it's why it reduces volatility risk when investing and saving over the long-term as opposed to short-term.
And then on that, on the bigger sort of the bigger sort of macro scale, right? How do you feel, or what do you sort of say is the importance, the actual importance of saving for a country? Because, you know, when you think about the GDP sort of equation, people are always talking about consumption, investment, and government spending. And then you sort of put in your exports minus your imports, you know, just as, you know, that basic equation we tend to have when it comes to an economy and its national income and all of that stuff. But we never really hear much about saving. So from a savings point of view, what is the actual importance, you know, for the country as a whole?
So I think the importance for the country to think about your citizens saving from a young age means that when they get later on into life, they're all going to be able to maintain their current lifestyle. So if we look at spending, it's going to increase the lifespan of a consumer being able to spend, as opposed to getting to a certain age and now having to withdraw completely from the lifestyle previously maintained. So I think the importance about saving, and it's normally the number one goal, long-term goal, is to save and invest correctly over a long-term period of time for retirement. So I think that's always going to be, you know, a person's number one goal, to make sure that when they reach retirement, they've got their nest egg available so that they can maintain their family and they can maintain their current lifestyle and they can do what they've set out to do. And you think about someone that's got more than enough money put away now leading into retirement, they're going to continue traveling, they're going to continue spending, and it's going to increase that specific person's spending capacity for 30 years, as opposed to spending, you know, bits and pieces here and there like crazy as a youngster, and then getting to later on and now having to completely withdraw from the way, you know, from the economy. So I think it's very important to create a savings culture from an early age in a country so that we can maintain our lifestyles when getting into retirement. And I think a big key consideration, you know, with regards to promoting why you want to save and invest young, comes down to your risk profile with regards to growing your funds. Because if you're starting much later on in life, let's say, for example, you're starting in your 40s, you're now trying to build up a nest egg that needs to last you for at least 30 years post-retirement. You're not going to be able to take many risks now in terms of your investments and savings vehicles. Where someone that's starting at 20, for example, from your first paycheck, can now start investing in different types of instruments. You can be investing in high growth funds, for example, in a unit trust. You can take advantage of your tax-free savings accounts. And after 13 years, you'll be 33. You'll have your maximum of 500,000 Rand invested in that from a capital contribution point of view. And that can now just build up over the rest of your life so that when you get to retirement, all of those returns are then going to be tax-free. And you've now got this really, really nice capital lump sum that you can utilize in maintaining your lifestyle going forward. So I think the importance of saving and investing from a young age means that you can start to take some risks as opposed to getting close to that retirement age. And it doesn't put as much pressure on your monthly income like it would if you had to start much later on in life. Saving 5% of your salary from 20 can equate to a much larger sum as opposed to saving, you know, 25, 30% of your monthly salary from your late 40s going onwards. So it puts a lot less pressure on you, you know, in terms of your long-term goal, and making it much more achievable when doing it consistently. And it's like anything, if you develop that consistency, you develop that habit of saving and investing from a young age. And it's like anything, if you go to the gym and you miss the gym all of a sudden now, it's going to irritate you because it's part of your lifestyle, it's part of your habit. So if you are investing and saving from a very young age, you're going to make sure that every month you're putting that money away for yourself. That money is then going to get invested, it's going to get saved, and it's going to compound in all these different investment and savings vehicles you've selected, so that by the time you get to your 55, 60, 65 years of age, you're able to carry on and maintain that lifestyle that you're used to.
On that, how do you then think we can help to, I guess, accelerate or at least encourage that culture of saving that you're talking about? You know, just listening to the things that you're saying, I can already pick out certain tenets. I can already pick out, you're talking about starting young. You're talking about, being consistent. You also spoke earlier on about educating yourself. What other things could be done to actually help to encourage saving?
I think from a young age, the easiest way is to show the practicality of it. And I think that's been the best part of my job since taking over this role, is to build new innovative ways of educating South Africans' youth and showing them the reasons behind why exactly are we saving and investing from a young age. You know, it's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to see it in a video, in a podcast, in articles, and see what your wealth can accumulate to. And I think that's been the big drive at F&B, and the big drive on my side in terms of my department is trying to create the best content and the best articles and the best podcasts and the best videos around the practical reasons as to why we're doing that and the different types of returns one can achieve. And I think that unpacking investment and savings vehicles is also key, because I think that before, if we go back, 10, 20 years, the excuse was, I'm not a financial person, I don't understand investing, I don't understand savings, I'm going to let someone else worry about that, or I'll worry about it later on in life when I come closer to my retirement years. It was never something that was, that was thought of like it is now. And I think that understanding those different investments and savings vehicles will make anyone a better long-term investor and saver. And I think we're not there yet, but I think that's the big move that we're making. And I think that the different podcasts that are available on F&B TV, we've seen a huge uptake. I think a month ago we looked at it, we had 800,000 interactions on F&B TV with regards to our thought leadership podcasts. So there is a big drive with regards to educational consumption now. And I think it's also around the fact that we have had time, like I said, and the reasons for saving and investing are becoming clearer, and people are now hungry for that knowledge to find the best savings and investing vehicles for themselves so that they can achieve their goals, so that they can grow their money. I think nothing becomes more practical than being able to link it back to someone to say, right, you can grow your money to X amount by utilizing these steps, by executing this strategy, by utilizing this vehicle or this different range of vehicles and diversifying all my different investments and savings, so that when I get to my retirement, it's no longer a shock and I've only got 5 years or 10 years now to quickly try and make up something. It's now I've been prepared for this, for the last 40 years of my life. I know all of my different investments and savings. I understand why exactly I'm investing and savings through these vehicles. I understand where the market's looking at going, and I understand what my spending capacity is going to be post-retirement. And I think that's where we need to get with our youth, so that they are in those, in the retirement shoes from a young age. It's not something that we're only looking at much later on in life. We're looking at it now from your first paycheck to say, right, these are the types of habits I need to develop. And if I develop these habits, by the time I get to the senior stage of my life, I'm going to have more than enough money put aside with regards to my savings and investments to look after both myself and my family and maintain my lifestyle that I'm used to.
I guess, on a final point for us, what's your outlook for, savings in South Africa, given what COVID-19 has perhaps done? Do you think COVID has helped to perhaps institute a fundamental change in the way that South Africans think about savings, having emergency fund, maybe thinking about money, the conversations that people are having around savings and investment? Or are we likely just to revert back to quote unquote factory settings and go back to being a country of spenders as opposed to savers when the lid gets closed on the current pandemic?
I think the one thing that the pandemic that was give every South African a practical realization of the importance of having saving and investments put away, as well as your emergency funds. And I think that sometimes it's, you know, seeing something in theory as opposed to seeing it in practice can sometimes shift a mindset. And I think that what South Africans, I think, are going to continue to do is to scrutinize everything for savings. I think that when you're looking at investing now, when you're looking at your savings, you're going to look at what investment and savings vehicles are going to give me the best returns, as well as what types of vehicles can I utilize that are going to cost me less, that are going to allow more funds then to accumulate and compound over the long term. So I think one vehicle that we've seen massive attraction to during this COVID period has been the tax-free savings account, because I think South Africans are now taking up the educational content to research what types of, research what can be done with this type of savings and investment vehicle, as opposed to just, understanding the theory around it, because it's a very powerful vehicle that can be utilized to both reduce fees as well as reduce your taxation exposure, which will allow over the long term in terms of compounding, this really nice nest egg to build up that's going to be free of tax with a larger reduced fee base, as opposed to some of the other savings and investment vehicles that are out there. So I think we've seen a shift from people now researching to really understand what exactly they're investing in savings in and the reasons behind those investments and savings. And I think we're hopefully going to see that shift maintained going forward, because we've had this real realization of what a crisis is and the importance of having money put away in times of a crisis. We now have that practical element that's made us scrutinize our monthly income and expenditure to ensure that we've got money getting put aside for long-term savings, as well as scrutinizing the different vehicles to make sure that we are no longer investing in savings in vehicles that are costly. We want to invest and save through vehicles that are going to make sense and help us achieve our long-term goals, not detract in high transactional fees. And I think that the tax-free savings account for any South African that hasn't utilized their tax threshold of 36,000 Rand per annum, it's definitely something that must be considered, because you can both invest and save through a tax-free savings vehicle, and all returns going forward then are going to be tax-free. And if we think about compounding and allowing those tax-free returns to then earn returns going forward over a long-term period of time, this really can build up to 1 million, 2 million, 3 million Rand over a long-term period, which when added to your long-term savings and retirements like a pension, can make a massive difference in maintaining how or what type of life you want to live going into retirement. Yeah.
So that's been us with Nicholas Rima, who is the investment education head at First National Bank, that is FNB, just giving us a rundown around the pros and cons of saving and investing in South Africa. We are in the month of July, which is savings month, a time of the year where we're just trying to change the culture of South Africans from being a country of spenders to being a country of savers. And Nicholas is just letting us know that he thinks that COVID has actually provided a very practical example of why it is important to have emergency fund, your savings and investments in place to weather some of these financial uncertainties, whether it be a loss of income in the immediate term or perhaps being able to fund your life in the later years of your life post-retirement. Also, just talking about the fact that in terms of inculcating that culture of saving and investment, we need to start educating people more, and that there's been a lot of interest in terms of investment education at the moment, which is a very good thing. And also talking about the fact that the earlier you start, the better, that it's probably better to be saving, 5% from early on as opposed to saving maybe 20% from later on in life. And also just ending off talking about the fact that going forward, we're likely to see South Africans just scrutinizing where their money goes more and more after this.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
The issue of saving and investment is definitely one of those that has really come to the fore due to COVID-19, like what Nicholas has said. I think my big takeaway is just that more than anything else, this time has really highlighted what it means to invest, whether it's your time or your funds. Because when it comes to saving and investment, I understand on the savings part, we're usually talking financially, but when it comes to the investment portion, there's a lot of it that actually goes into, you know, what are you spending your time and energy on? Because for you to know where to invest your saving, there needs to have been an investment of your time and energy in one, educating yourself, but two, trying to assess for yourself what exactly are you trying to achieve so that you know where you're going to direct your savings. On the side of investment, this time has actually allowed a lot of people to assess what they're investing their time in, and that goes into their income generating activities. Because for you to generate savings, you need to generate an income, and without an income, as has been the case for a lot of people during COVID-19, then it's very hard for you to save, which makes it harder to invest. So I think this has also been a good time for people to learn how to generate more income, right, by investing in either in new skills, learning new trades, or perhaps just trying to broaden the opportunities, maybe doing more than one thing at a time to increase your income so that you can save more and eventually invest more. So I think that theme is consistent, and those pieces need to be in place. You can't just save out of the ether, you know what I mean? You have to have money to save. And with a lot of incomes and businesses having been decimated, it has been a good point, a good moment of reflection for, you know, South Africans to actually think about how they're going to be generating, you know, their incomes first before they can actually invest them. Just seeing an increase in the number of, you know, independent contractors, people that are freelancing, people that are starting businesses during this time, people that are perhaps getting into, you know, more creative pursuits, people looking for ways to make money online, not being confined to making money just in South Africa, but maybe taking advantage of international opportunities online to actually increase your income base so that at the end of the day, you do have that money to invest. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live, that is under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter, where #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.